So Sons and I are, there's a little chorus in my head, and trying to figure out. Could you maybe lift the piano for me a bit, please, in the house?
There's just something about your name. There's just something about your name. There's just something about your name, Jesus. I keep falling in love, falling in love with you. Would you sing that with me, just gently? There's just something about your name. There's just something about your name. There's just something about your name, Jesus. I keep falling in love, falling in love with you. Oh, sing it again. And there's just something about your name. There's just something about your name. There's just something about your name, Jesus. I keep falling in love, falling in love with just something about your name. Something about your name. There's just something about your name, Jesus. I keep falling in love, falling in love with you. There's just something about your name. There's just something about your name. There's just something about your name, Jesus. I keep falling in love. Falling in love with you. Ooh. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days, they are held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will see of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days, they are held in your from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God all my life. My life is a testimony of your patience and your kindness, Lord. My life life is a testimony of your compassion and your unfailing love. I don't know why you would love me, but you do. And that amazes me. So kind, so patient, so beautiful in all your ways. Who is like you, Lord? You delight in showing mercy. Who is like you, Lord? Your love is unfailing. And that you would humble yourself, take on the face of a man, then die on a cross. What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? You would bleed for us. What kind of love is this? That you would come for us. What kind of love is this? This is unfailing love. This is unfailing love. This is unfailing love. This is unfailing love. Maybe before I teach the word, I feel the Lord wants to come and heal broken hearts. He said, come to me if you are thirsty, weary, empty, or broken. Just come to me. And if you're sitting here tonight and your heart is empty and broken, and if you're sitting here tonight and you've lost all hope, you feel abandoned, if you are sitting tonight and you don't know what to do, 'cause your life is falling apart, would you just stand for a moment? Because I believe the Lord wants to come and heal you now. If that is you, just stand for a moment. Don't be shy. I know he wants to move right now. Just come to me. Just giving it a little bit more time. Just stand if you're broken. Oh.
Lord, I pray that you would just minister to the broken ones, those who've responded to this call. By and in and through the Spirit, touch them in a deep way tonight, Lord. I pray. I hear the Lord saying to someone tonight, there's hope. There's hope. I see your pain. I see your pain. Thank you, Lord. Continue to minister to them. Amen. I'm telling you, he stops for the one. How am I going to get through this? Amen. Could you lift my mic slightly, please? Oh, thank you. You know, when I minister in other congregations, I say to them, my PM family, when I minister, they always bring me tissues. They know. I don't know why I'm reminded of this tonight, but Jacques, I don't think we're going to get through tonight. Where are you? And we were standing worshiping, and the next moment I was caught up in a vision, and I don't know how to explain, but I was sitting in the eye of God. I was sitting in the eye of God, and I was, it's like looking through a window into the earth, and I could see what he sees, and I could feel what he feels, and his eyes were searching. And he was looking for the broken ones. And whenever he would see a broken one, I heard the sound of rushing water filling up in the Lord. I don't know how to explain it. And then he will weep. And I would feel his compassion and his love. And I think David says, there's a psalm that says he draws near to the broken ones. So if you are broken here tonight, you are in a good place. Because he's coming for you. I'm not going to share what I plan to share. I'm going to actually almost land. But the last couple of months, I've just been captured by the humility of God. It's probably one of the most glorious things about him. And, you know, Jesus is, when he was walking the earth, his humanity was never in question, only his divinity. The God who placed the stars in the galaxies, who names them all, the uncreated omnipotent, almighty, all-knowing God is now a singular cell in the womb of a teenage girl. The wonder, man, we talk about the cross and we talk about his birth over Christmas. Sure. What kind of love would that be that he would humble himself in such a way that God would now have a human face? That's humility. And we were singing, we bow low. I'm telling you now, you go as low as you can, you'll still see him being lower than that. The last time God spoke to the nation of Israel, I'm not going to share what I'm going to share, I'm just going to flow. The last time God spoke in the Old Testament was in the book of Malachi, where he said, in the last days, I will return the hearts of the father to the sons and the sons to the father. And the original Hebrew says, once that happens, I will heal your land. Then God went silent on the nation for 400 years. It was a famine in the land concerning the voice of the Lord. No vision, no revelation, no dream, nothing. Dead quiet. And then after 400 years, the voice of God slips silently into the earth. And the only two persons that heard the voice of God again was his mother and his father. And God cried. God cried. The one who made Mary in a womb, Psalm 139, with wonder, with awe, with detail, with passion, with love. The one who chose Mary's eyes, the color thereof, the length of her nose, how wide a smile would be, how tall she would grow, how her feet would look. That one who made her now is born of her. I'm captivated by him. Last thing about Jesus, not the last thing. You know, when Jock spoke, Christianity is not about learning to live for God. Yes, not with God. Yes, it's really learning to live from God. It's learning to live from him. And I'm saying that because when Jesus walked the earth 2,000 years ago, he didn't walk the earth as an example for us. He walked the earth as an example of us. Do you know when Jesus was born, the first thing that happened to him, after crying, he had to be adopted. He wasn't Joseph's son. It's your story. It's my story. Can you think God being adopted into a family? Because it's you. And I'm a... John the Baptist is in the Jordan River, busy being a voice that prepares the way of the Lord, and he's ministering, he's calling people to repentance. And so people came from all over to see him burn and to be baptized as they responded to this. And can you imagine the day John is baptizing people in the river? There's a queue of Jewish men and women, and his message is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he goes further to say, And after me will come one that is not baptized with water, but baptized with the Spirit and with fire. And as he spoke those words, it's like something a veil lifted from him, and there Jesus stands in the queue. And the guy in front of him and the guy behind him has no idea that John, that's the man. Behold, there he is. Jesus stands in the queue to be baptized. Why? Because it's your story. He gets baptized, and out of that baptism, he gets led into the wilderness for 40 days to be tested. What was the first test? Do you know? Jesus, I see you are hungry. And I know you can take matters into your own hand, and you can take the rocks and you can turn them into fresh bread. I mean, how does fresh bread sound when you've not eaten for weeks? Think about a bakery, right? That's what Satan is saying. He's saying, make yourself fresh bread and eat. I know you're hungry. And I just wanted to mention that the first temptation was one of pleasure. Pleasure. Jesus get 40 days, get tested. Satan says to him at the end, actually the scripture says, Satan would then come to him at a more appropriate time. And the word there, the Greek words there, actually mean when a fruit tree's fruit is ripe and ready to be plucked. And the more appropriate time was Christ on the cross. Jesus went from the wilderness into Nazareth on the Sabbath, the Saturday. And as he entered the synagogue, he was given the scroll to read. So the baptism, you remember the Father saying, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased? So the baptism is Jesus being rooted in his identity as beloved Son. Wilderness, comes out of the wilderness into Nazareth. The scroll that he's meant to read was what? You guys know? Isaiah 61. Written 700 years ago. What does it say? You know it. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news, to set the captives free. Jesus is reading the prophecy about himself. And it says that while he was reading, those in the synagogue were sitting amazed. Just imagine Jesus reading the prophecy concerning his life. And then after reading that, he said to them, and this prophecy is now being fulfilled before your eyes. For I am he that the scripture is talking about. And then familiarity and rationality climbed into the minds of them. And then they, wait a minute. We know this. We know him from when he was a young little boy in the streets with dirty feet playing with his friends. Surely he's mad. It's impossible that he is who he says he is. We've seen him cry. We've seen him laugh. We see him making mistakes in his father's workshop. You know, John says he grew in wisdom and favor. It's the tension in fully God, yet fully human. God now needed to learn to speak a language. How does God grow in wisdom? He's so humble. You see, beloved, you and I, the design, our design is meant to carry fascination. Sometimes familiarity comes in. And familiarity is cancerous. Years ago, I heard someone say, Christianity is almost an impossibility if you're not in love with Him. I'm telling you, those words are climbing deeper and deeper and deeper into my heart. We were made to live with wonder. When last were you caught up in the story of grace? When last did you take the book and you wept? Wonderful. When last did you really have a look at Jesus? You see, fascination needs wonder. But wonder needs mystery. And mystery belongs to children. I've just simplified it all. I'm childlike. I'm just in awe and wonder of this man, this beautiful, wonderful, humble, high exalted God. And I've said it time and time again, if I can leave something with you, make the study and the discovery of the majesty, the beauty, and the glory of God revealed in Christ your highest priority. A dangerous place to be is faithful with church but bored with God. Pray. Pray all the time. Seek. That's what I wanted to teach on. I'm going to land now. I wanted to teach in John 15, but I'm not going to. I'll leave this with you. I want to encourage you with this. We neglect the basics. Every day, do you read your Bible? Every day. Do you pray? Every day. Do you worship? Every day. Simple things. I'm telling you, you won't need counseling, you won't need deliverance if you're in this word. If you draw near to God in this word, if you read it and pray it, your heart will burn. Simple, basic stuff. I'm praying daily. I'm praying, Lord, keep me hungry for this book. Keep me hungry for prayer. I was thinking about my life. This one, I can't remember in the last couple of weeks when last I've been on my knees in worship, when no eyes see, not here in front, when everyone is just behind a closed door, weeping in adoration and worship on my knees. It's time to draw near to the Lord. And Paul would write to the church and say, I thought by now you would have been grown up and mature, but you're still busy with baby stuff. It's an urgent hour we live in. Beloved, I'm whipping you. This is not that. This is, you're not going anywhere if you're not in this in prayer. You're not going anywhere. Oh, I told you guys when the Lord touched me in December last year, I couldn't sit and read. I had to go on my knees and read the Bible. So filled with fear and awe and love. I couldn't even sit and read it. Go low. Jesus, let my heart wake up to wonder. Wake up the sleeping heart, this apathy in me. And I've said to myself, I'm not reading Bible from the iPad or the iPhone. I'm keeping those things away. I'm reading this book. I'm praying with this book. You know, I was sitting, I went to have coffee with my mom a couple of months ago, and she was reading out of my grandma's Bible. My grandma was a woman of faith. And a poor old Bible is falling apart, you know, like everything is falling apart. You almost want to work tenderly with the pages because it's close to tearing. But it was full of little notes as she prayed for people. And I saw, when I came and I saw my mom sitting with that old Bible of my grandma. Now she's reading it and she's writing in it. And I felt just, I don't know what I felt, but I want Bibles to be passed down to my children. With my little weird notes in it. I miss the days when Jock would say, open Galatians, and you hear the turning of pages. A book. God doesn't want us comfortable. He wants us full of passion and zeal and hunger and longings too deep for words. So read your Bible and pray. Pray from your knees. Pray in worship. You guys okay? I'm gonna land. I don't know why I prep. I always do, and every time I prep my heart out, and when I get to the place, the Lord goes somewhere else. And I don't know. Man, I love Him. I love Him. Do you love Him? You know, I heard someone say the other day, do you remember when Jesus restored Peter? Peter denied Him 3 times, and He's now restoring Peter. Or not restoring, He's calling him, He's awakening him, I don't know what it was, but He says to Peter, do you love Me? 3 times, do you remember? And we can go into the phileo, agape, and what it really meant and what He didn't mean and what He was asking. But sometimes I think He just wants to hear, I love you too. I love you too. Man, I can't do Sunday church. This thing has got to be real. I find myself some nights falling asleep, and I can't wait to wake up and go sit with Him again. I'm a romantic, so I lit candles when I spend time with the Lord. Oh, and I go to places with Him. Oh, His voice. I have an ache inside of me to hear that voice. His kind, warm heart. The kisses of His mouth. And I pray that in your own way, by the Spirit, that you would find your way back to fascination and wonder and awe. That you would fall in love with this story once again. Of longing love, endless love. All of Scripture is what that's about. I love you. Love me too. And then they go and worship another idol. And then He comes again. I love you. Will you love me? And then they go and they do worship another idol. That's the story of Scripture, of a God that just keeps coming. And you've heard me share all these things many a times, again and again. I was asking the Lord, I know I shared it here, but I was asking the Lord the other day, what? Like when Adam sinned, why didn't you just quickly unplug him and upgraded the version to 0.2? Just before all you know, we won't be in this mess, just quickly. There was maybe a few people, I don't know, just quickly unplug him. Upgrade him. Take choice away. See, without choice, there's no true love. So I was asking the Lord this, actually, just in my conversation. It won't change anyone's life. I'm just sitting with the Lord now. I'm like wondering, what was he thinking when Adam sinned? And why didn't you unplug him? Why did you go towards him? Because Adam's sin changed him, didn't change his father. So God's response to the first sin in the earth is, where are you? Where are you, Adam? It's almost like he wanted to say, you messed up, but I'm going to make a way for you to come back. And so when I said to the Lord, why did you go towards him? Why didn't you just unplug him? And the Lord said to me, because I loved him. I loved him. My lips were against his when I breathed life into him. Loved him. There's a consequence. But I'm not walking the other way. I'm coming for you. That's your story. That's mine. Nikki, I wanted to minister over you. Is that okay? Jock, is that okay if I do? You guys need to pray. I can't cry like this in Newport. Really, you guys need to pray. I said to the Lord, actually, I don't like ministering like this. And I've said to him, you should take the tears away when I minister, but he doesn't seem to do that. But thank you that I can be myself with you. Nika, I feel like something simple. I feel like the Lord wants to sing over his son tonight. Can I ask you a favor? Would you stretch your hands to Nikki for me? Can you lift the piano slightly, please? My son, I love you. 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 You're the apple of my eye. You're the song in my heart. You are my delight and joy, and I think about you all the time. Son, you're always on my mind. And I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. I'm so proud of you, my son. I'm so proud of you, so proud of you. I'm so proud of you, my son. Can I ask you to sing with me? Let's prophesy over him. I'm so proud of you,
so proud of you. I'm so proud of you, my son.
Let's sing it again over him.
I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. I'm so proud of you, my son.
Come just one more time, every voice.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. I'm so proud of you, my son.
Maybe one more time.
I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. I'm so proud of you, my son. And I love to be your father. I love to be your father. Say,